listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
I place the blame on you still, place shame on you still, feel like you ain't shit, feel like you don't feel, confidence in yourself, breaking on marble floors, watching anonymous strangers telling me that I'm yours, but you ain't shit, I'm convinced your tolerance nothing special, but what can I blame you for, nigga, y'all can name several situations, had stopped with your little sister baking, a baby inside, just a teenager, where's your patience, where's your antennas, where's the influence you speak of, you preach in front of 100,000 but never reached her, I fucking tell you, you fucking failure, you ain't no leader, I never liked you, forever despise you, I don't need you, the world don't like you, don't let them deceive you, numbers lie too, fuck your pride too, that's for dedication, thought your money would change you, made you more complacent, fucking hate you, I hope you embrace it, I swear. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
That's right. We're in the house on a Sunday. That's right. Sunday with the Black Guy Tips. And also a very special day because it's Karen's birthday.
Yay!
Happy birthday, Karen.
Thank you.
That's right. Mimosa's on me.
Ooh, I'm gonna hold you to that one now.
I know. And also the day after April Fool's, which, you know, it's funny because I feel like April Fool's don't have the same bite ever since America went November Fool's, 11-6.
Ain't nothing funny. It's like,
okay. I wasn't so scared this time. None of the fake news bothered me. I feel like we live in a world constantly of fake news. If anything, it was nice to see people finally, you know, being skeptical about the post on Facebook and Twitter that they saw. Finally, people started doing, clicking on things and checking out what was happening.
And investigating and shit.
Yeah. Snoop Dogg arrested for murder. Oh, okay. Yeah, this is wrong. Okay.
Yeah, this is not real.
No. of course, this is the Black Guy Tips. You can find us on iTunes or Stitcher. Just search the Black Guy Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. And as long as they're nice, we'll read them on the air. And as long as they're 5 stars, just leave them on iTunes or Stitcher. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. That's right. And I don't even know where to start today. Oh, we are sponsored. We're brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions, of course, the maker of fine handcrafted audio plays. We have several albums out with them. You can check out the first two, The Best of Rod and Karen, and of course Sunspot and Other Ratchetness. Both of those albums have me and Karen on them. We're heavily featured.
Yes.
And we're doing a bunch of funny, silly things.
It was fun.
Acting and voices and stuff. I think you guys will enjoy it. So make sure you guys check that out. It's everywhere you get music and albums. You can buy them on iTunes and Amazon. You can listen to them and stream them on Tidal and Spotify and stuff. We're there, so just go search for you know, like I said, Sunspot and Other Ratchetness, and then also you can search for my name, Rod Morrow. It'll come up. We're also brought to you by Loot Crate. That's right. Of course, Loot Crate is the monthly mystery crate filled to the top with exclusive items from the biggest and best pop culture franchises. Go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT and enter code TBGWT and you can get $3 off of any new subscription. So make sure you do that, and I'll break down exactly what it is later on. Woo-hoo! For this month. But and we'll open up a box later too.
Yes, we
so
do.
You guys get to all be envious of us as we become the coolest nerds that you know.
I know, right?
Now that you got braces on both sets of teeth, Karen, you officially a nerd. You all the way with us.
Only thing I'm missing is a pocket protector.
All you missing is some black kids to pick on you to make you hate us for the rest of your life.
And push me down in the mud holding my science book.
And
beat me with a ruler or a protractor.
Every time I see you with some food, I just want to knock your scientific calculator out your hand. And
not that TI-85.
Just be like, nerd. All right, let's see.
That $200 calculator that you only use for one class.
I know. That's such a racket.
Right, because basically, what they do, they manually show you how to do it and then be like, oh, by the way, here's the calculator that can do it. Punch the number.
Then
and
it
you're
collects
like,
dust for the rest of your life.
Yeah, my mom was like, I spent $200 on that goddamn calculator. You only took it for one math class. I was like, I'm sorry, mama. They said I had to have it.
All right. I wonder what they're up to now. I mean, that was TI-85.
TI-2000.
They gotta be up there somewhere.
Yeah, TI 900, you know, because every year it would actually go up one number.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was like TI 5, TI 6.
They probably all do the same thing.
All do this. It's like the textbook. They change like one, they change the color and they go up one number, or they add an extra dot and all of a sudden you got to buy a brand new edition.
Mm-hmm.
Now that is a fucking ripoff.
I agree.
Just show me how to use the calculator so we all can move on.
Just show her how to use calculator, people, is right. What she's saying.
Yes.
All right. I guess we'll start with, let's start with this. About how life is horrible for the LGBTQ people. All right, sorry guys. That's right. Trump administration omits LGBTQ people from the 2020 census. Now it's interesting because we had not been tracking this before, but the Obama administration that put some language in place that we would start tracking this in the census. And then it's very important for especially marginalized people like trans people who are living literally on the margins of society in a lot of cases where right. There's problems with employment, problems with healthcare,
right.
Not to mention hate crimes, there's murder, violence, especially trans people of color. So you have all this stuff that we're not even tracking. And this is only the beginning of, like, this is the first thing you would do if you were even going to try to help somebody is
right. At least get a figure of how many people out there.
Yeah, the census just says we will be counting. That's it. Census doesn't mean, and you don't even get those numbers like right away. You know, like
this month, sometimes years. Not trying to find it before they actually get a true calculation.
Right, and I think the other thing is like the census only comes around like every so often, so it's not even like, oh well, I'll do it the next census, and like I think the next one's not till 2020.
Yeah, I don't know if it's every 5, every 10 years. It's
something like that.
It's a big ass gap in.
Which is interesting because we now have the technology to probably do this every year, but whatever.
Right. And also, I think that people migrate, people move. And they were saying that, I was listening to NPR and they were talking about the census and they were talking about, keeping track. And in addition to LGBTQ, a lot of them are homeless. And so they were talking about how they have a very hard time of tracking homeless people in the census because for a lot of them, their quote unquote home address is the shelters.
Right.
So if they happen not to be in the shelter on that day.
Right. Then they wouldn't get counted.
Right. So they're saying that the numbers are always.
Well, I know that the numbers won't be 100% accurate, but we do know that, I mean, not keeping the numbers is exactly 100% not accurate. Like,
come on.
If you're not even gonna count. So, you know, they had, the census had a report where they come out and they tell you, like, this is the new categories we're gonna be looking at. And they included on there sexual orientation and gender identity. And then they kind of took it back because they said, they hadn't really confirmed that with the Trump administration. which a lot of people are suspecting means they were told to take it off,
right?
Because, you know, the Trump administration is actively homophobic, and anyone that told you any anybody that told you any different during the campaign,
you're under delusion.
Yeah, they were lying to you. The idea that because Trump has a couple gay friends or some shit, or he takes a photo picture, a photo op with somebody that's LGBTQ, doesn't mean that this dude is anybody's advocate or anybody's ally, you know. So yeah, it's a huge step back, I think, because to me it's the intent more so than the result, because like I said, right, the results wouldn't be immediate. So mm-hmm. it's not like you take this census and then all of a sudden the police start coming out there like, leave these trans people alone. That's not what the expectation is, but you're sending a mental like message. Shot at them, like, hey, we don't give a fuck about you. We not even trying to count.
Come on, right? They wouldn't count blacks, but they were required to. Believe you me, if it wasn't the law already in books, and if we wasn't already on the list, they cross us out too.
Yep. So, ain't we lucky we got them?
No, we not.
Amber Heard says if every gay Hollywood actor came out tomorrow, this would be a non-issue. Basically saying that people are entertained by gay people, but if they like, as long as they stay in the closet, you know. But if people found out essentially their favorite Hollywood stars were gay, then people would come around.
That's not true.
She was a guest on the Economist Pride and Prejudice LGBTQ Summit Thursday. Amber Heard looked back at her decision to come out as bisexual in 2010, a decision which, as she recalls, was just a matter of responding to an interview question truthfully. I just answered honestly. I could tell by the look on the person's face it was a big deal. My poor publicist, the actress said, recalling the After Ellen interview in which she discussed with her then girlfriend, Tasia Van Rie. Then I realized the gravity of what I had done and why so many people, studio execs, agents, advisors, did not want this coming before my name. I became attached to a label. I never seen myself defined by the person I'm with. With her sexuality, while it was a sticking point for some in the industry, she remained unfazed. As a leading lady, there was a certain amount of wish fulfillment. I was asked, how is everyone going to invest in you romantically if they think you're unavailable? The actress recalls. I said, watch me do it. You know what's interesting about this too, though, is I think being bi is probably viewed a little bit differently for audiences.
It is.
Where if she would have said, I'm a lesbian, because I remember when I don't want to fuck up her name. Let me look it up. I want to, you know, before I even say it, let me just Google it, because I might be right and I might be wrong. And I don't feel like. Yeah, okay. Ellen Page, when she came out as a lesbian, people did go back and start being like, I don't buy this part where she kissed this dude for 1 second in X-Men or whatever. You know, like, it did become every scene with her. People were like, oh, I just don't. She's cold. I just don't. And I'm like, I don't know that y'all said that before you knew she was gay.
Right.
Like, now that you know, you have confirmation bias to then go back and be like, this woman's, I just don't buy it. She's unemployable. I don't know that being bi would necessarily come with that stereotype for a lot of viewers at home. Like, if anything, they probably think it's like even like more hot or whatever the fuck, you know, because it seems like people fantasize about that, and women are kind of allowed to be that. I think if a guy,
yeah, women are allowed to be more fluid in that area. Yes.
Yeah, I think if a guy would have came out as bi, people would have been more like, how do I know that he's really kissing this woman, you know? So I think that's interesting. Even if when a guy comes out as gay, you know, it's the same like Zachary Quinto, where it's like, or Siler from Heroes, if you remember him, where it's like, and Spock in the new Star Trek, but it's like, he'll, when he kisses a woman, there's extra scrutiny on this, like, oh, it's Spock and a her kiss, but I know Spock is gay in real life, like,
that don't matter, it's a fucking role, it's a role.
Yeah. Having run the gauntlet of coming out in Hollywood, her how now applauds her fellow actresses, women she's been, she sees being open about their sexuality. I stand here now amongst many of my romantic leading lady peers who are out and fluid, and I'm one of many now, and I'm working. And if we're meant to reflect the world around us, the whole point of telling these stories and reaching audiences is to challenge the status quo, to push the envelope, not to just meet the status quo. We're in a unique position to do this. We need to be actively pushing. One of the most important steps towards progress, she suggests, is her male counterparts deciding to push back harder. She said, if every gay man that I know personally in Hollywood came out tomorrow, then this would be a non-issue in a month. Mm-mm. So you don't think so?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Because people underestimate people that are homophobic. Like, mm-hmm. people act like if everybody that's actually gay or bisexual or fall in these spectrums come out, that people are just going to all of a sudden become acceptable. And that's not true. You will have some people that change their mind.
Mm-hmm.
But just to look at Trump and the laws, no, like, people are like, fuck you, I don't give a damn, you're my family member. It's a lot of people are on the fuck you train when it comes to this, and there's nothing you can say or do to change their minds.
Yeah, I think the other part of it is, I mean, obviously there's a double standard for men anyway,
right?
Where you can't just be straight, you gotta be the straight man of all straights and shit, or else, you know, you can't be a leading man and gay or anything other than straight as a fucking arrow. But I think her theory is one that if certain actors came out, they're so popular that they would be a bunch of actors that people know and love, and that would cause people to be like, oh, I already like a gay person, I already have watched this person do things on screen as an actor where they presented as heterosexual but they weren't, and retroactively I have learned something. Now, I don't believe that shit would happen either, because I do think people are extremely homophobic. Mm-hmm. I don't know that. And then the other problem is, I think Hollywood would punish those actors.
Yes, they would.
Because Hollywood is so fucking uptight with how and why they do things. And it's steeped in a lot of the same xenophobia, bigotry, racism, homophobia that every other industry in America is. Even though they present as like this really left-leaning industry, they're not really. And because they essentially sell to the public, and they feel like the public would not be okay with these things.
Right.
So I don't know. I feel like if somehow there was a match, I mean, it's not going to happen. So it's obviously, you know, not, you know, but if there was like a magical unveiling of every gay person that is in the closet, or LGBTQ person that's in the closet or whatever, coming out tomorrow, and they were like, look, you like Tom Cruise, like all the people that you like, with Tom Cruise, you like Will Smith, you like John Travolta, you like all these people that get rumored all the time, where, you know, they confirm or deny or whatever, you know, you already like Queen Latifah, you like that. I do wonder what that impact would be, you know. Would these people be forced to go away? Would these people no longer get the parts that they wanted? Because we know they're great actors and we know that they make money. So would the American public not want to buy the shit? Because I do wonder how it would happen. But I wouldn't play them games with my life if I was, you know, somebody that really felt I couldn't have a career if I came out to the public. Like,
yeah,
I would understand. I understand people being like, I'm not coming out with that. And, you know, I don't want to be the first, the only, or pay the cost, for this shit. And it's not really my decision to make for somebody else.
That's true. And also, the quote unquote public, and as much as people try to act like, brown people are the people making a lot of these laws and decisions when it comes to LGBTQ, it's a lot of white people. It's a lot of white people that invested money in Chick-fil-A. It's a lot of white people that got the Tea Party riled. A lot of white people that voted Donald Trump. It's a lot of white people. So when you say Hollywood across the board, you're particularly talking about white people. Yes, it will affect black people also. Please don't get me wrong. There'll be a lot of black people that will be upset. But overall, you're talking about white people being very upset, because there are a lot of white homophobic people. But yet when they talk about in California how shit don't pay, it's always the niggas. When you go, nah, y'all voted for this shit too.
Yeah, I mean, Hollywood is old, rich, and white male for the most part for the decision makers. It's odd watching when you watch the awards and you watch the people give the speeches and shit. That's one thing, but I think that has become overvalued because it's still a racist industry. It's still full of old white men that don't want to move over and give up their seat and shit like that. But we act like, you know, if Meryl Streep gives a speech, then that erases everything that people are dealing with, you know, but.
And it doesn't.
But yeah, I mean, I understand her point, you know. I don't know that. I think she believes in people more than I do.
I don't believe in people like that.
Yeah, I think people would.
Protest.
People would be. I don't know about protesting. I just think people. Because we have had actors come out. So it's not like some phenomenon where it's never happened. Nobody's ever come out the closet. I just don't think people would go see their movies and shit anymore.
Correct.
And
that's a form of protest. That's why I said protest.
Like, oh, I thought you meant like picket signs.
No. Protest means protesting with your dollar, protesting online on social media. Like that, to me, in my mind, there's different forms of protesting. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not always like vocal up front on front of the line going fuck you. It's not. I'm next movie. I'm not going to see.
Yeah. American Idol loser LaPorsha Renee reveals she chose to be heterosexual after being gay for 2 years following accusations of homophobia. Now, I've never heard of this woman.
Me either.
Like, this must be like American Idol season 75.
It's still on?
Yeah. I mean, in all fairness, I never watched American Idol, so I don't know.
I did when they first came out about 15 years ago.
Well, she's a 23-year-old, so she definitely wasn't on the one 15 years ago.
Mm-mm.
She says that she chose heterosexuality after 2 years of living gay. The 23-year-old shared the information after being accused of homophobia on social media. She claimed on Twitter that she decided to turn her back on the world of lesbianism after she decided to be true to her spirit. Soul singer LaPorsha said she said, I chose to be heterosexual after being homosexual for 2 years. I chose a belief system that felt true to my spirit, #truth. And when another user told her that she could not have been really gay during those 2 years, she fired back yet again. LOL, now who's judging? You haven't walked in my shoes, so don't try to diagnose me. It's not your place to tell me what I was and wasn't. The whole affair began after the singer, who was a runner-up in the final season of American Idol, was accused of being homophobic by some of her followers. She responded, "Phobia is a fear. I'm not afraid of homosexuals, nor do I hate them. I respect and love everyone." And when another told her that she was wrong, people can choose homosexuality, as she watched her brother grow up gay, he was born that way, she decided to bring her own experiences to bear with the debate. "You're wrong to think it's not a choice for some, because it was for me, #truth. And the bigger picture of my statement was that homosexuals should be loved and respected, not dehumanized, not whether or not it was a choice." Okay. I would love to know what started this, because it don't seem like they had a tweet that really started this. Mm-hmm. You know, my thing is this though. If it's a choice for some people or not, what the fuck would that matter?
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like, cause I used to think about that too. I was like, well, I think some people, that's just how they're born and there's no choice. So why the fuck would you punish them for the way that they're born? I definitely don't remember choosing to be straight. And I doubt, you know, it works the other way too, where it's like, oh, I think I'm gonna like something else. Like, I don't think that's how it works, but, the thing is, it really shouldn't matter. Even if everybody that was gay made a choice, like they filled out a sheet, filed paperwork, and checked a box, they still fucking human beings and adults. Like, what the fuck would that, like, why would that have to matter? The reason I don't like talking about it being a choice or not is because, to be honest, I don't want to get into a religious discussion because I don't believe in that shit. And a lot of religious people try to turn it into a choice. They can say it's a sin, just like I choose to smoke a cigarette, or I choose to overeat, or I choose this, and God can forgive me for that because I made a choice to make that sin. That's the real reason people want to call it a choice or not, because then they want to extend the argument out to, and it's the wrong, quote unquote, choice that you made, as opposed to, you're a fucking adult. Not everybody has to make the same choices. Like, that's, I think that's what, why people want to frame it that way. And I think also it probably helps her to, in her argument, just like those gay conversion people, to be like, well, I was gay and I saved myself from gayness, and that's, you know, so all you other gay people need to do that and get right like I did. You know, I really think that's what it is, you know. And maybe, like I said, I don't, I don't know the science, and I think a lot of people don't know the science behind gender identity and sexual orientation and stuff. Like, we don't know if it's your brain chemistry. We don't know if it's biological. We don't know if it's something in your DNA. Like, nobody really fucking knows. I just don't think it should fucking matter. Like, no matter what you believe, you're not gonna make people not be gay. This is a thing that has always existed and will always exist, is that people are gonna be all along the spectrum. Why the fuck are you so conditioned to try to control it? You know what I mean? Like, I have to vilify these people. So that's the reason I push back on the whole talking about whether or not it's a choice. But at the end of the day, it wouldn't matter. You know, but I wish I knew what her first comment was that even started this shit.
Right.
Cause she clearly said something that made people be like, that's homophobic, sis. And then she was like, no, it's not. I was gay for 2 years. You know, I got a black friend. I got gay friends. So, at any rate, I'm not, speaking of people homophobic, I'm not homophobic. Candace Cameron Bure defends herself after she was slammed for wearing a t-shirt with the phrase made famous by a drag queen. Now, I've never heard of Candace Cameron Bure until like 2 days ago, and then I found out that apparently I've been known she was.
Okay.
She was DJ on Full House.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I never know her real name.
Yeah, she has not aged well, so she don't even look the same to me. But yeah, Candace Cameron Bure has been forced.
She looks like the same person.
Right? She has been forced to defend herself after sharing a photo of herself wearing a t-shirt reading "Not Today, Satan." The phrase was coined by drag queen Bianca Del Rio. Drew criticism from the performer, who accused Candace of being homophobic. The Full House actress is renowned for being a conservative Christian and has spoken out against gay marriage in the past. Oh, I already know where this is going. Bianca Del Rio, real name Roy Haylock, made the catchphrase famous after using it when she was a competitor on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Okay.
On Thursday, she reposted Candace's photo, captioning it, "If only this homophobic Republican knew," adding in devil faces and love heart emojis. This prompted Bianca's fans to flood Candace's Instagram page with nasty messages accusing her of being homophobic. "Shaking my head, get the top off," commented one critic. "You have no right until you want to support the LGBT community fully." So then Candace responded back to Bianca Del Rio, "Why do you have to be nasty to me? You don't know me or my heart. I'm not homophobic and always sad when people think otherwise. Loving Jesus doesn't mean I hate gay people or anyone. You send a bunch of hateful people to my page writing horrible things. I hope next time you'll spread love and kindness even when you disagree with people. Sending you love and wish you all the best. Truly, Candace." Yeah, Christians are really good, like the bigoted ones, for being like, it's just a disagreement. You know, your whole humanity and shit, I just disagree on it, and that's all. I'm just, yeah, you know, your whole right to exist and live out your life, you just, you know, just agree to disagree. But the 40-year-old didn't take the criticism lightly and fired off a hurt message to Bianca defending herself. She then signed off, "Sending you love and wish you all the best, truly." Bianca, 41, then posted her message on Instagram mocking the former child star with a series of hashtags and devil face emojis. Her response, she captioned the screenshot, "At Candace Bure, hashtag live your life, hashtag love Jesus, hashtag Republican pride." Still determined to have the last word, Bianca then shared a photo of herself as Roy with a confused and horrified expression on his face, captioning it, "Current mood." Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, dog. A lot of these people feel like I'm talking about marriage equality and saying you can't be gay and get married and shit, but I'm not a homophobe, you know, because it's that same thing as like, nobody's racist.
Come on.
You know what I mean? Like, nobody's homophobic either, man. You can literally be against somebody's entire livelihood and everything they stand for, but come on now, you gonna really call me homophobic just because I don't think you should be able to get married or have adopt children or get the medical coverage for your partner? Or I mean, why can't we just agree to disagree? I just don't get why you feel this way. I'm sorry. An activist was threatened for challenging the Trinidad and Tobago law, sodomy law. So a Caribbean LGBT activist has received almost 50 death threats following his lawsuit. Ooh. against Attorney General of Trinidad and Tobago, Tobago, for to remove the country's anti-gay sodomy laws. Trinidad and Tobago is among the 74 countries around the world that has discriminatory laws against the same-sex consensual adults. Jason Jones, who has been an activist in both Trinidad and Tobago and the UK for 28 years, filed a claim against the state on February 23rd, contesting sanctions 13 and 16 of the country's Sexual Offenses Act that criminalizes sodomy between consensual adults and serious indecency, which is defined as a sexual act outside of intercourse involving genitals. These clauses in SOA were originally created while Trinidad and Tobago was a British colony. Directly following independence, a saving clause was written into the law to preserve any pre-colonial law, making it difficult for private citizens to challenge these colonial laws in court. Any law predating independence can only be challenged by the parliament. However, Jones and his legal team said they have discovered a loophole to challenge these laws. Since he has filed the case, Jones has been harassed online by people threatening to hurt and kill him. However, he says many people in his support circles are not taking this threat seriously. "People have threatened to throw petrol on me and set me on fire," Jones told the Washington Blade in Port of Spain, the capital of Trinidad and Tobago. "They are writing boom, bye bye, body boy on my Facebook page. How can I ignore that? Some of these threats aren't real. I haven't been able to sleep properly. Every strange call, odd sound, or anything remotely off has me frightened."
Right. And that's the whole purpose. And that's why they do this shit. And what's, like I said, what's even worse is that quote unquote allies on your side tell you that you fucking delusional when you go, "Nah, dog, they actually are threatening me. What is it gonna take for you to have a film of my ass caught on fire?" They'd be like, "Oh, that was real.
Yeah. Oh, nothing's gonna happen to you. You'll be fine."
Well, they just talking that until you get shot, right, or until you die.
It's just online. He said that numerous times people, particularly young boys, have accosted him in the street.
Damn.
Calling him homophobic slang like Buller Man and Bati Boy. "I walked down Frederick Street and a group of school children are shouting Buller Man at me," Jones told the Blade. "I don't know if they recognize me because of the lawsuit or the way I dress, but I'm not going to change my life because other people are now uncomfortable." Man, I cannot imagine that level of bravery, to be honest. Like, if it was on some shit where I couldn't walk down the street without people being like, "Kill that nigger," I'd be like, "Well, I guess it's Amazon Prime for the rest of my life." Like, I don't even have that in me to even fight that shit every single day. I want to go outside, walk down the street, let alone you challenging the law, let alone people are death threatening you. Like, whew, that's a powerful, strong person. Since the death threats, Jones has moved out of the home he was staying as to protect his roommate and has hired personal bodyguards to protect him around the clock. Oh, he must got some loot, man.
You fresh, baby.
Mm-mm. No, they need to get this messed up sound. "Let me buy you a drink." All right, I'm refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I can't even imagine that. Fuck that shit. Especially because, the government isn't necessarily trying to help you. You're challenging them.
Correct. So they're not going to protect you.
You know,
and the way they go, you looking like shit. Y'all might sense about after my black ass.
Like, it's like, sodomy laws in America,
mm-hmm.
How people spend, like, we essentially use sodomy laws to punish, rapists and people having consensual gay sex,
right?
So like the only two groups of people that ever get charged with sodomy is like a person that like sexually assaults somebody, or just two men in a park, you know, like that kind of thing. So I can definitely understand the fear,
mm-hmm.
that must be associated with this. Okay, cool. I'm back on screen. I think y'all can see me now.
Yes, I can see you.
Okay, cool. So, along with the legal proceedings, Jones is conducting community-based advocacy programs around the country to educate and build LGBT support systems in Trinidad and Tobago. He intends to take his activism to other Caribbean islands, particularly those that have little LGBT activism. I hope he can be safe.
Come on, don't.
Jones says he is not making any claim against the state. It's not a civil matter, but a constitutional matter to change the laws, and as such, it is not seeking to gain money from the state. Jones is funding his legal venture on his own with his lawyers working pro bono. I will not earn a penny off the state of the Trinidad and Tobago taxpayer.
Right. He's like, look, I'm doing this for a larger cause. Like, it's a lot of people out here just watching me take this punishment, just living this lifestyle, your family members, your friends, but you just don't fucking know it.
Mm-hmm.
So this ain't about me.
People think that I'm claiming money, but I'm not, and neither is my legal team. His aim is to receive equality under the Trinidad and Tobago laws for all citizens. This includes marriage equality and protection under the country's Equal Opportunity Act, which explicitly excludes sexual orientation. That's very familiar to America and North Carolina. I want us to have everything that heterosexuals have the rights to, Jones told The Blade. I'm trying to fight for it all. In 2017, it's about time we are treated properly. We are treated properly, sorry. But yeah, good for him. I hope that he is safe. I hope that nobody does anything to him, because, you know, that's the kind of brave civil rights shit that, you know, of our time, that I think people will look back on and be like, this dude was like a amazing, brave activist. But then in the current time, he's walking down the street, people threatening him, and nobody saying shit. All right, let's go to some other news, see what else we got out here, guys. Oh, did you know, apparently, Fox News and Bill O'Reilly Fox News and Bill O'Reilly have settled claims with five women for more than $13 million, according to the New York Times. O'Reilly said statement that he's been unfairly targeted because of his public prominence.
A word.
In my more than 20 years at Fox News Channel, no one has ever filed a complaint about me with the Human Resources Department, even on the anonymous hotline. O'Reilly, the host of the O'Reilly Factor, the network's biggest star, added, I have put to rest any controversies to spare my children.
Mm-hmm. So you had five different women who had a problem with you.
Five women. You're not the only famous person in the world. Five different women accuse you of sexual improprieties, bro?
Five, dawg. Five.
What are the odds?
And the thing is, you know, they ain't called a hotline, but what you did, it was settled.
Mm-hmm.
Because you didn't whoop fast and shit like that that should come out to the general public.
Yeah, I do. Every time this happens, I do think about the fact that many of these settlements, sometimes they have language where it's like, you can never deny this shit. So while I agree to keep silent about it, both of us have to be silent about this.
We both can't say jack shit.
And that's what happened with Bill Cosby, is he started the shit got brought back up because he started violating those settlements by talking about it and denying everything. And those women were like, get my lawyer on the phone. That was the one thing he said he wouldn't do.
Right.
And I think for many victims, while it, to many people, may be a technicality.
Right. If I got to shut up the hell up, you do too, dog.
Because silence is part of the way that they control your victimhood. And it's like, here's some money, shut the fuck up so I can continue to live my life, is essentially what that settlement is for a lot of these dudes. So yeah, I you know, when they start denying it, I do wonder if the shit will start coming back up, because now it'll be like, well, this technically violates what we agreed to.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean? Particularly the women that you're funny, who are in a position where they have some type of money to actually afford lawyers, can get their money together and be like, hey, he violated it.
Yeah,
I don't care how small, we violated it.
Yeah, we already had reported on two of the cases, but now they're saying there's five, so that's three more. The largest settlement was a payout of $9 million.
Woo!
In a sexual harassment lawsuit former Fox News producer Andrea Macris brought against O'Reilly in 2004, according to the New York Times. Two settlements were reached last year after L's departure, because that motherfucker was accused of some shit too. They were just like, we need to just open up the piggy bank. It's sad that they have this much money, by the way. This should have put them out of business like Gawker.
Come on, dog.
Fox News anchor Laurie Du accused O'Reilly and Ailes of harassing her, but not sexually. Juliet Huddy, a regular guest on O'Reilly's show, accused O'Reilly of pursuing a sexual relationship with her and trying to hamper her career after she rejected his advances. Attorney Macris, Du, and Huddy, attorneys for them, did not respond to calls yet. Last year, they agreed to play a Fox News agreed to play a $20 million settlement to Gretchen Carlson on behalf of Ailes, who denied any wrongdoing. Mm-hmm. $20 million, but you ain't do nothing wrong.
You ain't do nothing.
Sound like you ain't want that shit to go to court.
Right. Like I said, when you start doing this, and I don't care what nobody say, $9 million ain't no chump change, nigga. You was like, I'm gonna lose, put like this, I'm gonna lose more than $9 million fucking around and letting this shit come public. So let's pay to them. This $9 million is dropping the bucket compared to what I'm gonna lose, guarantee you. Because five random women who probably don't know each other, not associated with each other whatsoever, probably worked in various years. Yeah, he did that shit. Quote unquote, allegedly.
Of course. Under the comedy license. We're all joking. Why Twitter got rid of racist eggs?
They ain't got rid of no racist eggs.
There will no longer be eggs when you log into Twitter for the first time.
What's it gonna be? Whatever the hell that is, chicken, cow, pig, they'll start harassing me with that shit.
Yeah, I think this now has up dog and flag avi stock to the roof.
American like Eagles.
Yeah, if you've invested in patriotic memes in the racism stock market, your ass about to come up.
Your sales gonna go through the roof. So okay, I ain't got no egg now, so I'm getting harassed by cats. By dogs, I'm gonna get harassed by Make America Great hats. I'm gonna get harassed by, like I said, American Ball Eagle. You know, anything with stars and stripes. Yeah, that's all. You're not stopping harassment, dog.
Landscapes.
Yeah, random landscapes.
Pictures of Trump.
Right.
Pictures of Bernie Sanders.
Oh, that's another good one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I said it. Oh, I went there.
Okay. Oh yeah.
I don't give a fuck.
Mm-mm.
I know that's y'all, man. I know you thought it was over between us.
Mm-mm. Because y'all won't let it go away.
Catch me outside. How about that?
I'm going to still be on his ass. Anyway.
So what? Now instead of a regular egg, they're just going to scramble the egg? What the hell?
Well, I got the picture on the screen, right? You can't see it. It looked like a...
Oh, that generic thing like at your job when they be like, put your photo beside it so people can see your face. I always leave it blank. Cause I'm like, nope. But go ahead.
No. It's just a picture. It looks like a kind of like a the outline of a person.
But they're just gonna harass you with that now.
Yeah, I don't understand why they think this would work. I mean, have they done some sort of actual psychological evaluations that says
people
aren't racist when they see a shadow that looks faintly like a cartoon symbol of a person? Because I don't see why they think this would change anything with the racism.
Right, and I've even had to tell even some of the fans of the show, they'll hit me up and I'm like, hey dog, are you real? I ask people that. They be like, yeah. I'm like, well, I'm letting you know right now, you might not quote unquote know the rules. Put a picture up because I don't speak to eggs. There's only one egg I follow. That's Francis in Maryland. I don't follow no other eggs.
Twitter wants people to use this space to show us who they are. It announced on its corporate blog, the new default image, more like an empty state or placeholder, and we hope it encourages people to upload images that express themselves.
No, because you're not making a requirement, okay? So you're going to have people just going to make 1,500 different accounts with this generic version of the egg, because it's still an egg, quote unquote. Got an egg head with a half a circle body, so it's still an egg. And the thing,
yeah, now it looks like two eggs,
right? So
like a little baby egg, and then an ostrich egg, and then like a Tyrannosaurus Rex egg.
Right. So now I'm getting harassed by twice as many eggs. That's all you're telling me. And I think the thing is, in a lot of these places, Facebook included, a lot of these social media places, there's no diversity in the people that make the decision making. In a lot of these companies. And so, because there's no people of color in any of these positions, they have platforms, particularly Twitter. They don't know how the fucking platforms function. They don't understand what people truly use these platforms for. So that's why it's easy for them to dismiss a lot of shit, because they barely even go out there. You know, you work for the company or own the company, and you barely have any followers. You barely interact with anybody, but yet you don't know how people are getting harassed, or when people do harass you, you know what you do? You lock the fuck off. You don't even really go in to see why this shit is happening, because you go on these social media, you say stupid shit, and then you get mad. Like, it's just the worst thing ever when you don't really understand how your platform functions, and there's nobody there to go, this shit is dumb, and this won't change people's fucking behavior, because that's what you need to change, not the Abbeys.
Yeah. So they just need to kick racist people off.
Right.
Do some IP bans.
Do some IP, right, because this one, what I see, if you make 15 accounts from the same IP address and all of these accounts have been flagged, you're banned. It's okay to have 15 IP addresses from the same IP, but if I see out of 50 different accounts you have, all 50 of them have been flagged at some period of time, yes, I'm banning that goddamn IP address. Why not?
Yep. But they refuse to do that.
Right, because, they're about quantity, not quality. And the thing is, then you wonder why don't nobody fucking want to buy you. Nobody wants to deal with people being harassed on their platform.
Yep. I think we talked about this yesterday. Kendrick Lamar, got roasted for, well, not even roasted really, because a lot of people were defending him, but he kind of got some backlash over a line in his song Humble. I'm so fucking sick and tired of the Photoshop. Show me something natural like an afro on Richard Pryor. Show me something natural like ass with some stretch marks. A lot of women expressed disappointment and outrage over Humble on social media, noting that Kendrick was putting down a segment of females in an attempt to uplift others. Some of the critics are fans of Kendrick's work, yet they feel he comes up short when it comes to addressing topics related to women. You know, I love Kendrick and Humble is amazing, but that man is hella problematic when it comes to women, more specifically black women, one Twitter user wrote. I think, you know what it is too? I was thinking about this yesterday. We talked about it in the car after the show. Mm-hmm. Part of it is just people want to feel good.
Correct.
About something. And when someone else comes in and tells them how that shit is fucked up, people get super defensive over the fact that they can no longer feel good without.
Like you took my fun away, quote unquote.
Without at least understanding the cost of it has to somebody else.
Right.
You know, and I think everybody wants to be the hero of their own, like, story. And the hero would never do anything that would make other people mad, you know? So you have to rationalize out why other people are mad and why it doesn't matter or why they're wrong. But, you know, I think you can kind of exist in a space where you like Kendrick Lamar's song and, yeah, it is kind of patronizing the way he looks at women. You know, I don't find it to be, just because he's not the quote unquote worst at how he talks about women, it doesn't make it not a problem.
Correct.
You know, so I think more importantly with Kendrick, a lot of the pushback towards him really comes because people that, you know, in many cases are fans of his, and they do this with J. Cole too, they do this with Nas, mm-hmm. but they elevate them to some type of black leadership position that right. They never campaigned for or seem to have wanted.
Nope.
It's like, because they're rappers that don't just talk about the run-of-the-mill shit, people really put them in some type of like category where they're not that either. Like, Kendrick Lamar is not exactly an activist. Kendrick Lamar is not, he doesn't get paid to go speak at colleges. He doesn't like, and doesn't seem to want that, and seems to be okay with that. And even with the criticisms, I don't know. I mean, I know he's youngish, but I don't know that he would grow or not grow based on this.
Yeah, only time will tell.
Yeah, I mean, cause my thing is people keep going like he'll grow out of it, and maybe he will. I never put it beyond any person to have the capacity to change and grow and see things were wrong. But the thing is, I don't know why he would change, because people are praising him for the bare minimum when it comes to his discussions of women. Like, just the fact that he didn't say, all y'all stupid bitches, y'all need to be fucking sucking his dick for it. I mean, why y'all not thankful? Damn, what else do y'all want? Y'all was dancing to Bad and Bougie and now y'all mad at this. Like, people really do expect women to be, and in this case black women, to be happy with the bare minimum, you know?
Right, when it's not, you know, for them, you don't have to have the bare minimum. It's like, well, damn, bitches, at least he says something about your black ass. And you're like, well, I can still rock with something and enjoy something and still say it's problematic. Most music that most people listen to, no matter what the genre is, I would continue to say this is problematic on some way, shape, form, or fashion.
Well, also, I just think he, anybody, and this happens with anybody, to be honest, you express a preference, you're gonna catch some backlash. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a vacuum that this shit is happening in.
Nope.
You know, women's bodies are politicized, and all that shit. So
a lot of women are getting tired of, like, just leave right. Their bodies after bullshit.
Yeah, like, just rap about how hot your bars are and don't tell me how to dress or think or what to, you know, whatever. And in this case, what happened, I think, is he picked a group of women that typically don't get that shout out. Mm-hmm. So there are some women that are gonna be like, yeah, I actually fuck with this song and fuck everybody that got a problem with it. I didn't get surgery, and I'm tired of these rappers worshiping, you know, all the women that get surgery. I'm tired of these rappers worshiping the women that, you know, don't have stretch marks or don't have natural froze, and now we finally get a nigga that's like, that's what I prefer, and y'all about to shit on him. I mean, I've seen that too, you know, I'm not here to tell people how they have to feel. Nope. About their, this person advocating or not advocating for their body, but I mean, without even debating it, it's definitely a put down to a certain type of woman. I mean, it's just, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, I mean, I still enjoy the song, but I just don't find it, I don't understand why people would need to defend their enjoyment of that song. Either you enjoyed it and you recognize that it's problematic, but it didn't bother you, or you enjoyed it and you see other people think it was problematic and you're bothered by the fact that other people find it problematic.
Right.
You know, which, I mean, you're never gonna get consensus on shit like that. Mm-hmm. You know, but yeah, I saw a lot of people, you know, going in. Of course, black men were the number one people being really dismissive, like, y'all care too much, y'all just, you know. But it's like, even in that, you know, you're exerting the exact kind of privilege that enables Kendrick Lamar to never, like, grow out of that shit.
Correct.
Like, he never gonna learn as long as we can dismiss women's concerns with, oh, so y'all just can't enjoy nothing, or y'all just, why can't I just listen to this? You know, as long as we come at it with that angle, he won't get better. Because, like, I think also people don't have a vision to see, but the way I feel about a lot of shit is like, if Kendrick had, because he has the skill and the talent, if Kendrick would have dropped some type of song that would have found a way to uplift a lot of sisters without dissing other sisters, people would have been like, yes, like that, like, that's a song I want to hear. And I think people would have given him even more props, you know, as opposed to less. You know, even with like, Beyonce found a way to do Lemonade without, like, even with the idea that Jay-Z cheated on her in this album narrative that she told. Mm-hmm. But she did it without, like, coming at some other women on some, like, and this is what's wrong with you bitches and da 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 da. Like, she found a way. I think a lot of people can find a way. But if
they
you
want to, yes.
Yeah, but if you enable that person, they never will. You know, like, I mean, Kendrick, in my opinion, when he talked about the what about black on black crime shit in that interview, and then Black of the Berry, it's like, I understand the impetus for those emotions. If you're black and you care about black people in America, you probably had those thoughts, you know. And in a mostly black place, in a black discussion, you can probably have that discussion with some black people, like, the cops are killing us and that's fucked up, we also have to stop this violence in our community, da 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 da. If it's a really black space and everybody trusts each other, you can have that conversation.
Yep.
You just can't have that conversation in fucking Rolling Stone. You know, you can't have that conversation in an album that everybody's gonna hear for the most part. Just, then you have to invite these prying eyes and you're gonna have to have this discussion. But I think a lot of people really just feel like, they want to enjoy things, and when they find out that people have issues with the things they enjoy, that's where the backlash comes from.
Right. I can enjoy the shit and just and let you speak whatever your truth is and be valid and say, okay, I agree with you. This is still flames, but I agree with you. I'm not gonna argue against your point.
Yeah, and I think it's mostly because of his fans pushing him as more than just a rapper.
Right.
Cause like the hypocrisy in it lies to me when you want to elevate him to more than a rapper when he's making All Right. When he's doing, like then we want to push him to more than just a rapper for some people. And when, you know, like I've seen people pit Kendrick Lamar's raps against black women's activism in the streets.
That's not the same.
But I've seen it. You know what I mean? I've seen it on Twitter where it's like, man, he talking about this, that, and the other. What you doing? It's like, well, I actually organized this thing and, you know, da 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 da. And there's also the thing of he, in many areas where he's pro-black, there's gonna be some issues that he has with women that's still gonna be possibly problematic. I don't know what kind of women he's necessarily running into or looking for in his life in the rap game. I know he has a wife or a girlfriend or something, but you know, you don't really know what the average representation of a woman is when it comes to these dudes. They really might just be on some like, I see groupies backstage and that's womanhood to me. And these women need to be told to respect themselves and all this shit. And it is kind of demeaning. And your music goes out to a lot of different people. Not everybody's gonna be down with that shit.
Nope.
You know? But, I definitely, enjoy the song. But at the same time, I'm like, yeah, when I heard the line, I was like, oh yeah, people gonna have a problem with that.
I said the same thing too.
Yeah. I just think people would be better served rather than trying to invalidate the arguments to listen to what people are saying.
Right. And let people speak. And that's the problem, particularly being a black woman. People, you get tired of every time you open up your mouth, it's a motherfucking problem. Some man got to come and tell you what to think and how to feel and how what you're saying ain't right and how you just crying for the sake of crying. Don't that sound like white folks, y'all? Don't that sound like white folks when the black man is shot in the street?
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, it's not new. And all the shit that people are saying is so myopic because when they say like, y'all ain't have a problem with, actually a lot of people did have a problem with whatever you about to say they didn't have a problem with. There's a lot of people that had a problem with it. The difference is nobody elevates the Migos to fucking uses a cudgel against, black people and what they not doing and shit like that. You know, and like I said, I love Kendrick, but he got some hotep in him. You know, it is what it is. You know, love Outkast. They got some hotep in them. Like I'm not seeking perfection from them dudes, but at the same time, when people critique them, I'm not jumping in front of no bullets or trying to invalidate their critique by saying you can't even listen and just jam. Like Kendrick is presented as an artist that you don't just listen to and jam. So you just can't have it both ways. Like his words mean a lot to people, but then when people say, well, I didn't like the words that he said, now all of a sudden we can't care. We shouldn't care. You know, I fuck with Kendrick heavy, but yeah, it's, you know, at the end of the day, dude is still a rapper putting out music to the public. Not everybody gonna agree with it. And not every critique of him is some shit that you need to battle or tell people that they're wrong for noticing or whatever. And like I said, it's telling that in general, it's mostly men telling women not to care. But he's talking about women. You know what I mean? I got a perfect example for this. I'm glad I listened to both these songs yesterday. Perfect example to this. Now these won't get as much traction because I think we have a lot less, a lower bar for these artists I'm about to play. And also because, it happened at the same weekend that Kendrick had his shit. But, Kanye West on Love Yourself. I was listening to this yesterday. Let me get to his part. But yeah, I was listening to this. Let me skip.
Thought they put my life on hold, but I knew something they didn't know. I know myself too much to ever fold. Dark clouds are moving past you. Oh, you gotta love yourself. if you really want to be with someone else.
I love those horns.
You gotta feed yourself before you feed somebody else. You gotta stay open and don't be foolish, cause everybody don't mean you well. You gotta love yourself before you love somebody else.
Yeah. You gotta love yourself. You know what I'm saying?
I decided not to use my color as a handicap. He a designer, artist, producer, and he rap. Never found virtue.
Just right out the box, decide not to use my color as a handicap. Kanye, like I said, Kanye is the pro-blackness as fucking
Megyn Kelly
is the feminism. Like, but like the bar is lower for that dude. Like, he can drop that bar and everybody about to be like, rather than think piece it up, it's like, well, we don't elevate this nigga as a spokesman for anybody but Kanye West.
Come on.
So you just won't see it. The problem is, fans for Kendrick do elevate him in many cases to more than a rapper when it's convenient, and less than a rapper when, and just a rapper when there's a backlash against something that he said, you know? So that was one of them. And then the other one was my man Logic, who dropped the song Everybody, which is on some almost
okay
all,
I was gone.
It's almost some All Lives Matter shit. Let me get to the part that's where I was just like, really, nigga?
Jehovah Witness, God is my witness, I'm witness, but on the real, I think I need another witness. If it was 1717, black daddy, white mama wouldn't change a thing. Light-skinned motherfucker certified as a house nigga. Well, I'll be goddamn, go figure. And my blood is the slave and the master. It's like the devil playing space with the pastor. But he was born with the white privilege. Man, what the fuck is that? White people told me as a child, as a little boy playing with his toys, I should be ashamed to be black. And some black people look ashamed when I rap, like my great-granddaddy didn't take a whip to the back. Not accepted by the black or the white. I don't give a fuck, praise God, I can see the light. Everybody talk about race this, race that. I wish I could erase that, face facts. Everybody people, everybody bleed, everybody need some. Everybody love, everybody know how it goes. Everybody people.
Now, I'm sure most white people listen to that, like, what's the problem with that? But I bet there's a ton of black people that hear that shit and go, man, fuck Logic. Now, the reason I'm bringing that up is, to people of privilege in that discussion, they don't know what the fuck you niggas are so mad about.
Right.
That's how I feel about the Kendrick shit with the, a lot of black women are upset with some, not every black woman, but a lot of black women are upset about it. That can be a valid critique, and the song jamming, but yes, I feel you. That's the issue y'all have. I'm not fighting you on that issue. Kendrick can improve on that shit. You know, there's no reason to say that a person that's still breathing can't be better about things, if they care to.
Right.
Well, the same thing with this Logic shit. If you had a discussion with the average white person, they'd be like, well, he said white kids picked on him and black kids picked on him and everybody's people. And I mean, he just wished people would stop talking about race. So I don't understand why y'all are so mad about this, because they don't understand it from your perspective. And it's their privilege allows them to be like, y'all just too woke to enjoy things. Y'all just care too much about shit. So I think that is the way that, I view the Kendrick shit. So, you know, all that to say, like, if you don't care, then don't say shit. You know, if you really don't care. Speaking of caring too much, apparently the original Aunt Viv had a problem with the Fresh Prince cast getting together and taking a photo together.
Apparently she did. From what I seen, she was not too pleased.
Yeah, they took a picture with the new Aunt Viv, the light skinned one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gee. Mm-mm.
Now, here's the thing. I don't know everything Janet Hubert has done since leaving getting kicked off that show. Mm-mm. I don't really know. What I do know is she won't stop talking about it, so I can't tell you.
Me either.
You know, at this point, who knows what else? She could have been on 27 other TV shows. I literally don't know, because every time I see her, the only thing she's talking about is this one show that she's mad at these people. And it's been fucking 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to say it was like the 20th anniversary or something of this last episode of the show.
That makes sense.
Damn, we old.
We and, sure is.
They reunited without her and they took a picture and she apparently had some words to say about it. Blacktress Janet Hubert.
Yes, Blacktress.
On Facebook, her, that's her chosen form of media. She says, I know the media hoe, Alfonso Ribeiro, has posted this so-called reunion photo. Folks keep telling me about it. He was always the ass wipe for Will. There will never be a true reunion of the Fresh Prince. I have no interest in seeing any of these people on that kind of level. I am not offended in the least by this photo. It was an event for Karen's charity. It does, however, prompt me to take some meetings in Hollywood to pitch my memoir, Perfection Is Not a Sitcom Mom, and tell of the behind-the-scenes story before I leave this earth. Derek responds, refreshing to see someone in the Hollywood community refuse to compromise their integrity, even at the expense of their career. Bet you sleep fine at night. Nothing against Daphne Reed, but Bravo is the real Aunt Viv. Oh, Bravo to the real Aunt Viv. Black, she responded, hey, sweetheart, I really do. If they had done to anyone of my cast members what they did to me, I would have stood up for them a long time ago. They need to stay connected to Will. Call it Will. I call it Will Fair. I have no need for his services. No need for him to endorse me or anything I do. He has no power in my life, but he does in there. So they must do the Hollyweird thing. Bless them. I am not a hoe for Hollyweird. I am muy contenta. Yeah, you want to know what's funny about that though? By her hatred of him, she is vicariously living off of him.
Mm-hmm.
Everything around her centers around the way an 18-year-old kid or whatever about the negotiations with the network.
I might be wrong, but I hope there was some maturity for everybody between the shows and now.
The 20 years?
Right.
Yeah.
I hope there was some level of maturity.
Yeah.
I might be wrong, but I hope an 18, 19, 20-something-year-old person that has lived long enough, a lot of them in their 40s now, to have some form of evolution.
Yeah, it says Will Smith is 48 years old.
Right, he almost 50.
So if that show ran for however many seasons, let's say 6, 7, I don't know, and then it was a 20-year anniversary like yesterday or whatever, that means this nigga was like 20. When she decided fuck him for life. She responded to another person who says, they fear you. She says, my story has never changed. We accept when men stand up, but when women do it, we are bitches. Yep, I'm a proud bitch, being in total control of herself. Someone said, I've always known that on the most of the greatest sitcoms that I grew up on, there was some degrees of tension and disagreement. What sitcom hasn't gone through it? What really gets me is the way television industry treats the greatest of actresses, da da da. She says, true that. The replacement mother would be a surprise at what the cast had to say about her to me. Just a bit of tea. And then she put a shock face emoji. Someone says, I miss you. The show is not the same. Hollywood was not ready for you. And she responded, like I always said, if you want me to kiss ass, just put it in my contract. Mm-hmm. So she was out here letting y'all know what time it was when it came to Will Smith and that hoe, Alfonso. She out here calling people hoes. Boy, she stay mad.
She's not here for y'all.
Beauty, they quoted Beauty Jackson in this box. It says, Janet Hubert will definitely tell you your older sister was actually your mom at Big Mama's funeral, at the funeral. Man, she is gonna stay mad at them niggas till she dies, yo.
Yeah, like I said, I really do hope that they matured, because I'm trying to tell you, most people in their 20s was not thoughtful, didn't consider anybody else. Like self-centered, very, very few 20-year-olds are thinking.
I mean, and that's if he was wrong,
right?
Like the assumption is he might have been wrong or not understood the ramifications at 20 that she understood at 40.
Mm-hmm.
She's 61 now, according to the chat. But at the same time, there's also this thing where it's like, what if he was right?
What if something happened and you wouldn't get along?
It wasn't his only source of income. He had bigger ideas in mind for his career. And he was like, man, I don't want to negotiate Cause her thing was like, well, if you hold out, we'll all get more money. He was like, I don't want to do that. And then she was like, this motherfucker. It's his fault. Everything that happened to me. A Tyrannosaurus Rex may have been a sensitive lover, according to a new dinosaur discovery.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It might have been a Ralph Tresvant of dinosaurs.
Ah, playing slow jams.
You know it wasn't finger banging, that's for sure.
You can't reach nothing.
It made its name by terrorizing the Earth at the end of the late Cretaceous period, but the Tyrannosaurus Rex had a sensitive side too, researchers have found. The fearsome carnivore, which stood 20 feet tall and ripped its prey to shreds with dagger-like teeth, had a snout as sensitive to touch as human fingertips. T-Rex and other Tyrannosaurs would have used this tactile noses to explore the surroundings, build nests, and carefully pick up fragile eggs and baby offspring. But the snout is thought to have served another purpose. Experts believe the males and females rubbed their sensitive faces together in a prehistoric form of foreplay.
Okay.
I had no idea they used to get down like this. That is news to me. They didn't teach us this in our history classes. I didn't know about this in science.
No.
Hey girl. Why don't you come over here and let me put this little forearm on you? Apparently, writers in the journal Scientific Reports, the U.S. authors describe how the sensitive skin may have proved crucial to the dinosaurs' maiden success. In courtship, Tyrannosaurids might have rubbed their sensitive faces together as a vital part of pre-copulatory play. Girl, come over here and rub that face on me.
Face on face.
Let me suck on that tail.
So with Eskimo kissing.
I guess so. Well, kissing, maybe they kiss.
Hey, you never know.
So yeah, apparently the hard surface of the snout was penetrated by numerous small nerve openings or foramina. Well, I'm sure I'd like to suck on those foramina. You know what I mean?
For a minute.
They would have allowed hundreds of branches of the trigeminal nerve to reach the surface of the snout, turning the dinosaur face into a sensitive third hand.
Oh shit! Now
a little bit of a hand job.
Hand on hand action.
Hand jammy.
A
similar arrangement.
Come here, girl, let's do it quickie.
A similar arrangement is seen today in crocodiles and alligators, which have thousands of tiny sensitive bumps called integuminary sensory organs around their jaws. In 2017, scientists at Yale Peabody Museum of Natural History in Connecticut reported that the animals rubbed their sensitive bumps on the face and body profusely before mating, and found the behaviors frequently resulted in what appeared to be overstimulation. That freaky dinosaur sex. The late scientist Dr. Thomas Carr from Carthage College in Wisconsin, a real true freak, said, given that the foramina are identical in Tyrannosaurus, that indicates that they had super sensitive skin as well. Rub your hands all over that skin. The trigeminal nerve plays a special sensory role in many mammals, reptiles, and birds, causing sensory signals from whiskers and electrical receptors, and enabling the pit viper to home in on infrared radiation from warm-blooded prey. Crocodiles sense both touch and vibrations in the water via the trigeminal nerve, while migrating birds may use it to detect magnetic fields. Co-author Professor J. Sid Lamar from Louisiana State University said, our finding of a complex sensory web is especially interesting because it is derived from the trigeminal nerve, which has an extraordinary evolutionary history of developing into wildly different six senses in different vertebrates. More like sex senses. what I'm talking about. So yeah, Tyrannosaurus used to make sweet, sweet, sensitive love.
Apparently so.
Chopping down them paleological cakes. I don't know what the
prehistoric cake.
Cocking, chopping down. Chopping down them Mesozoic era cakes, girl.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, man. Here's something that I just thought was funny. Okay. Or actually, this might take a while to load, so let me go to something else first. Online porn industry moves to protect visitors as Congress revokes the FCC rule. So basically, porn sites are trying to get more secure, mm-hmm. but to help people keep their porn viewing private.
Right.
I like that. That's the thing everybody's worried about. That's how you know we're just a country of fucking hypocrites. All these, mm-hmm. you know, like Alabama tried to declare porn a national health crisis, same way Utah did and shit. And you're like, yeah, and then at the same time, people are like, don't look at my porn though. I mean, you can look through anything on my computer. I don't care if it's my financial records, my bank statements. I don't give a fuck. But do not look at this porn. That's the one thing I could never handle. But yeah, and Pornhub stepped up and said, we got to protect our clients, man. Can't be out here letting y'all.
Yeah, particularly those people that actually have accounts with them. Like they log in and mm-hmm. shit like that. I don't blame them.
And famous people and shit, you know. You never know who they gonna pay for. Cause you know that's what's gonna happen. I think that's the next step.
Mm-hmm. People start hacking.
Let me go to the next, segment, guys. I see we're at 120. Give me 1 second. Be right back. Don't touch that dial. It's got Tyrannosaurus Jam on it. Oh, I bet you do. Jurassless chaps part.
Oh Lord.
Mm-hmm. All right, I just invited you back. Make sure you mute that mic because you know how you do.
No, that's my bad.
That's oh, here you go. There you go. I heard it.
I mean, but you got to give me time to hover over it.
All right.
Not bad.
It's not.
I'm not quick enough, y'all. I'm not quick enough. And see, and this is why people have a problem with Kendrick. It's a black man telling a black woman and you want to control her body.
Massage noir?
Yes, massage noir.
All right. Here we go. This is what I wanted to show you. This is Erica Ash explaining the exquisite versatility of the word bitch. I thought this was so fucking funny.
To most people, bitch is just a bad word. It's actually one of the most communicative words in the English language. You can say bitch and it means, huh?
Bitch.
Say bitch and it means, don't even try it. Bitch. The word could mean, wait until you see what I've got up my sleeve.
Bitch.
You can use the word to let people know that you're happy. Bitch. Sad. Afraid,
bitch,
to let people know that you are at your wit's end.
Bitch.
You can use the word to mean I'm really angry. Bitch. You can use the word to say I have some really, really important information to share with you.
Bitch.
You can say bitch and it means that was funny.
Bitch.
Try using bitch today in your office. I'm kidding, don't do that.
Yeah, I just thought that was cute.
Mm-hmm. That's the same way I use nigga.
Yeah, yep. Basically, that's the first thing I thought. I was like, that's how I say nigga.
Right. Because sometimes that one word, depends on how you use your inflection, can mean a variation of different things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's understood. Even people that don't even say the word nigga go, I understand.
A bridge collapsed in Atlanta, freeway fire during rush hour. I think they've now arrested a man that is a transient man. They said he started this fire that collapsed this freeway.
Right, and the thing is, A, it's cost some billions of dollars, and they actually had to close the section fucking indefinitely. And for those of you down there that have to deal with that goddamn traffic every day, I can't even imagine the commute of, because for some people that's probably the quickest way to and from work. So now you have to think of alternate routes, and everybody gonna be taking these alternate routes. So now I'm, you know, instead of the hour I was getting up, now I got to get up 2 and 3 hours early because motherfucker, you won't do this.
Yeah, and that's in Atlanta too. So
in Atlanta,
like,
traffic is just back. You be driving on the road, like, God damn, it's an accident. Nah, this is just what we do. We just see it.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what it reminded me of. It reminded me of the highway bill that Obama tried to pass.
Right.
Where originally I think he even proposed like $1 trillion. And
fix these roads.
Republicans fought him on it because they were like, these roads aren't necessarily up to standard. And I think the highway commission even said it would take like $2 billion to fix everything that needed to be fixed. And they whittled him down to where I think he proposed basically 484, maybe, I don't know why I remember that exact number, but 484 billion or something like that. And they whittled it down to like 307 billion. Now, all this to say, and then most of that, all that to say this, I'm not saying it would have prevented this bridge catastrophe necessarily. It just reminded me of how shitty our roads are.
They are.
As far as, and how much we rely on them and how much we use them. Mm-hmm. And the only reason they fought him is because a black president said, we need to do this. If President Trump would have said, I need $1 billion, $1 trillion even to fix all this shit,
it'd have been sound.
They'd approve it. It's the hypocrisy that bothers me. Because, you know, like I said, when I first saw this, you didn't know what the cause was or anything. Mm-hmm. You saw a fucking bridge collapse and you didn't know if anybody was dead.
Right.
You saw a big ass fire and all kinds of shit runs through your mind. But my first thing was like, the money it costs to even repair some shit like that. Like the money it costs to, you know, to keep shit running the way people expect it to run. Mm-hmm. Like we really are on some we will wait to the last second to even try to fix these things.
And by that time you've had collapses.
Yeah, bridge is gonna collapse or some shit. People gonna end up dying, but.
Right.
All right, let's see what else we're gonna talk about here today. Let me do some fucking with black people. Get my fucking with black people music out. Cause it's a lot, guys, okay? People, we have been fucked with. And it's time to fight back. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go all around the globe and we find different people and stories that make us feel fucked with black people. Today's contestants, everybody. All right, let's get to fucking with it. These teens win for the most racist offensive promposal, and it's not even April.
What?
Yep, it's prom season, so you know we get those promposals, which one of the things I hate about the internet now is that one, I always think these are stupid, and whether I saw them or not, it would be stupid in private, but it's even more stupid in public. But like fathers that hold shotguns next to their daughter and the guy taking her to the prom, and the people that make racial jokes about asking people to the prom, or they try to turn it into like some sort of gag, and a lot of times it's like highly fucked up and offensive.
Right.
Well, here's one. Apparently these two white girls invited this black girl to the prom, and the picture said, you may be picking cotton, but we're picking you to go to prom with us.
They thought this was okay.
They thought it was okay. Mm-hmm. Now the Instagram post has since been deleted, and the caption underneath had read, she said yes. Turns out the teens who made the signs are currently students at Monarch High School in Coconut Creek, Florida.
Yeah, people, and that's the thing, people will find you out. Mm-hmm. I don't know who you are.
Yahoo confirmed John Arrow, a alumni of the school, spotted the pic on Instagram and shared it on Twitter. It's 2017, he wrote. His tweet has since been retweeted more than 8,000 times, and people are sharing their horrified reactions to it. This is a bunch of gifts and shit. A lot of reactions are referencing the movie Get Out, which everyone should go see immediately, according to this, some e-cars, joint. But yeah, it's kind of weird to me though, cause I think the girls end up getting suspended. I think I saw that right before we went on the air.
Okay. And only because the school don't want them problems. If it was something that hadn't been went viral, I'm not trying to be funny, it wouldn't have been a problem.
Well, I also saw people kind of turning on the black girl. Mm-hmm. But honestly, man, you just don't know. You just don't know. Like, what people are going through.
They may have put on the spot. You don't right. know what may have happened.
You know, that might be the kind of thing where you don't even get mad about it till later.
Because right, she's young.
Those right. might be her real friends.
In real life.
She wouldn't think they would do some bullshit like that. And now
she
might
have been in on the joke.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, who knows? I mean, I would hope, like I said, yeah, it could just be that too. But I hope it's not that she was in on it. Some people were trying to say that, well, that black girl comes from a inheritance of a farm where they do cotton or something. I'm like, that wouldn't even, that just means they use that to make the racist joke. That just makes it worse. They didn't make it better. That means they knew they had plausible deniability with their joke just to cover their ass. It's fucked up, man. Anyway, 0 to 100.
Oh, that whole situation is 100.
100 for me
and
as well.
I'm glad they got suspended, because you'll think twice before you do some fuck shit like that. And not trying to funny, the school had to set an example. Don't do this bullshit. Just act like normal people ask each other.
Right. So it's fucked up, man. That's just, man, it's fucked up.
Right, because they're teenagers, so who knows how it went down and what happened and shit like that.
Right. A protest broke out after some high school students were found running a racist body shaming Instagram page about their fellow students. The San Francisco Gate reports that students at Albany High School in Albany, California started an Instagram account with cruel posts about their classmates, including pictures of a black doll, a member of the Ku Klux Klan, and a torch. Some of the students were also involved making Nazi salutes and anti-Semitic gestures in an incident earlier this March. The students were suspended, but many believe they were not punished enough for their hateful post. Mm-hmm. Yeah, here's the thing. Everybody's always like, the generations of the future is gonna save us. Mm-mm. It's the kids that they not growing up like we did.
Are they not? Because it never dies, because it's from generation to generation to generation, dog. They learn from somewhere.
In response, hundreds of other students at the school staged a sit-in on Thursday to protect the return of the offending students. I mean, to protest the return of the offending students. During a 3-hour protest, the students held posters that read, "Black is beautiful. We won't stand for racism." Stuff like that. The school had to be canceled for the rest of the day because so many students joined the rally.
Because that's fucked up what they did.
Shout out to the students that came in late that just wanted to, like, not go to class, though. I'll see y'all.
Right.
Like, I'm going to protest racism. Mm-hmm.
We get to go home early? Okay, cool. They weren't taking attendance? All right, great.
Mm-hmm. Hell no, we won't go to class.
Right.
Parents of some of the students targeted by the Instagram account expressed frustration about the incident. Alexandra Campbell told ABC 7 that she wasn't sure how to deal with the situation, given that the parents of the suspended students hadn't shown up to talk to the community. Yeah, this is why, and I hate to go back to some old shit, but I remember when we went on the interracial joint, and we, you know, they do their apology thing, which is amazing. And then, of course, Leslie and Drew are very tough. They are very tough on these folks. But this is why I said I had to give the parents of that one kid props.
Mm-hmm.
The ones who wrote that letter, they were accountable right. to the town. They talked about what organizations he was going to join. I do want a progress report. But the fact that, like, there was a action plan, there was sincere apologies, there were
normally get zero, nothing,
right? Like, it felt like they gave a fuck. Like, in this case, these white people probably just, they're scared that everyone's mad at their kids. Mm-hmm. Or whatever,
and their kids just sitting at home, they ain't talking to nobody, and as soon as it's quote unquote over, some of them may have even transferred schools because they don't want them problems. Some of these children might not ever come back, you know, shit like that, where it's like, oh, because a lot of it is the parents are shielding, a lot of these parents are shielding their children from responsibility, and a lot of these parents probably believe the bullshit that was out there.
What bullshit?
The racist stuff. But the parents may believe this shit.
Yeah, my thing is, my general belief is, they probably don't know. You know what I mean? They probably don't know. Because kids do all kinds of shit behind their parents' back on the internet.
Yes, they do.
Your parents don't be necessarily on people's Instagram and shit like that. The thing is, once you do know, then what?
Right.
What happens after that is, you duck your head, you don't come to the 4-hour meeting, you don't talk about your kid, you don't release a statement, you don't say anything. So I'm left to believe, you don't really give a fuck.
Nope.
It's the only thing left to believe. What am I supposed to believe?
You condone their behavior.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, you might as well have wrote it yourself after you don't come out publicly and be like, no, my kid won't be doing this shit again. Apologize, and let's figure out something that you can do to make some sort of restitution, because this was horrible. Instead, let's just wait till this passes over. But their parents have not come to the board meeting, which is 4 hours of public comment of people in Albany sharing their experiences about racism that are very similar to this, and the pattern of the district and the Albany Police Department sweeping these incidents under the rug. Do we need to find one of our children hanging from these trees for people to take this seriously? This is not a joke. Yeah, also, this is a very quote-unquote liberal California town, so it's also that thing where it's like, but these are the good white people. You know, like, yeah, well, apparently the good white people have a racist ass Instagram page. So, yep, 0 to 100.
Oh, 100.
Yeah, I give 100. It's terrible. These kids these days. A New York Police Department cop got in trouble for tweeting Black Lives Matter.
Sounds about right.
Here's my thing. If you can't work for the police department and believe Black Lives Matter, then what does that say about the police department?
Come on, dog.
Why are those two things diametrically opposed? Black Lives Matter simply says police should do a better job when confronting black people. They shouldn't have to, all of them shouldn't just end up dead because there was a, because shot cop showed up. Why the fuck would that not be allowed to be on the force if y'all were not racist and didn't have a problem with black people? I don't understand. I think it almost says something about what they must mean when they say Blue Lives Matter.
Right. They ain't talking about you niggas.
Right? It just kind of makes you wonder, like, what do they mean when they say Blue Lives Matter? Because Black Lives Matter isn't an attack. Mm-mm. But Blue Lives Matter, if you guys think putting that Lives Matter behind something is an attack on people, then what does that mean?
Because the thing is, when you say Blue Lives Matter, black lives only matter in the blue lives if they're blue, and only if we don't have to put them out for an example.
At that point, they're blue lives and not black lives, as far as people are concerned.
Right. Like I said, unless we got set up for an example, and then we'll separate ourselves.
Right. Police officer Gwendolyn Bishop, who was black, was hit with the departmental charges for inappropriately writing on the 76 precinct Twitter page when she replied to a February 17, 2016 post about a gun arrest in her precinct by a NYPD special ops team. Sad day for the 76 precinct, hashtag Black Lives Matter, she wrote. Bishop posted the remarks under her personal Twitter handle, Duck Lips and Dimples. If you didn't know she was black before, now you do. While the initial tweet, and Dimples spelled with 2 Z's, so very black. While the initial tweet remains, the replies have been taken down, as has Bishop's Twitter account. The 4.5-year veteran told her superiors that she didn't remember replying to the post and she rarely uses Twitter. When pressed at her departmental trial Tuesday, she said she meant to write Blue Lives Matter and claimed her phone autocorrect for the mishap. That's sad that that's how she had to respond. Because, essentially, you are at work and they're going to try to get you up out of there and you got bills and shit. So now you got to come up there and be like, I meant Blue Lives Matter?
Mm-mm. She said what she meant, in my opinion.
It wouldn't even make sense to say Blue Lives Matter in that arrest. It doesn't matter. I mean, unless somebody got killed or something. Did a cop get shot? She posted a comment 3 times using Blue Lives Matter, and 2 of them, her attorney said, Bishop said she was not directly responding to the gun arrest. I vaguely remember the tweet she told Commissioner David Weisel. If I had to guess, there were a lot of changes in my precinct about shifts being switched, but it had nothing to do about this gun arrest. The tweet she responded to simply read, hashtag 76 precinct special ops team makes an arrest and recovers a loaded 9mm handgun, hashtag one less gun. Tenen said Bishop did not violate any of the NYPD social media rules because she didn't access the account. Her replies were from a private Twitter account, he said. She can reply to a tweet just as the 500 million others who use Twitter can, he said. The NYPD has strict guidelines about who can post to a precinct's official page as well as the contents of the post. Her private Twitter account did not identify her as a cop in any way, Tenen said. Lieutenant Stephen Rios, the 76th Precinct's Integrity Control Officer, said that a picture on Bishop's now defunct Twitter page was the same as her Facebook page, where she identified herself as a cop who patrols Red Hook. The 76th Precinct covers Red Hook as well as Carroll Gardens and Cobble Hill. The Twitter account also goes to a Veronica Bishop, who is the cop's middle name, which is the cop's middle name. Department heads are also accused Bishop of mouthing off to superiors and for violating departmental rules such as taking a break without informing a superior, going over a supervisor's head to get approval for time off, and conducting vertical patrols on her own.
Right, because they're trying to fire you, so they're just combing for anything.
If found guilty of all violations, she could lose up to 30 vacation days and be put on a year probation. Yeah, that's interesting. Like, because on the one hand, if she meant to put Blue Lives Matter, I literally don't give a fuck then. Like, well, you got caught out here trying to stomp for the police and you got caught fucking up, and now nothing proves Black Lives Matter is right more than your ass getting suspended for accidentally putting Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. And then, cause he said she responded three times, something like that. Like, I want to know what happened then. Was it Blue Lives Matter, and then Black Lives Matter, and they went crazy, or did two of them not post? What's the deal? But yeah, if she gets that, that says a lot that you can't do that without going to trial. There's people that have done way worse shit in police uniforms that will never be called to the carpet.
Never. Won't face a day in jail.
Well, Karen, 0 to 100.
I'm gonna say 25 until I find out more.
Yeah, I feel like 50 right now, because I need to know. It depends on if you believe her. If you believe she really went to put Blue Lives Matter, then I'm zero fucked with. Bye. To be honest, mm-hmm. Like, that's what you get playing in that fucking racial white supremacy shit, trying to get some applause. But if she really did type Black Lives Matter and had to walk it back because she was scared, then I do feel bad for her.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. The more I think about it, she probably did mean to put Blue Lives Matter. The more I think about it. White women told to stop the cultural appropriation of wearing hoop earrings because they are the result of oppression and exclusion of people of color. White women accused of cultural appropriation have been told to scrap their hoop earrings after a group of Latino college students complained that black and brown folks have been exploited by it. A group of students identifying themselves as women of color wrote, "White girl, take off your hoops," on a free wall used for unmoderated free speech at Pitzer College in Los Angeles, California. After one of the students was confused by the message, Allegra Martinez, Jacqueline Aguilera, and Stefania Gallo Gonzalez addressed the school in emails explaining the artwork. Martinez wrote, "The black and brown bodies who typically wear hoop earrings and others associate accessories like winged eyeliner, gold name-plated necklaces, etc., are typically viewed as ghetto and are not taken seriously by others in their daily lives. White people have actually exploited the culture and made it into fashion," she added. While hoop earrings date back to ancient times, there have also been staples among cholas and hip-hop artists who popularized large hoops and door knocker earrings before they were featured in fashion shows like the Marc Jacobs Fall 2017 collection. Martinez, an active member of Latinx Students Union, wrote an email to the entire student body explaining that hoop earrings are just one accessory appropriated by white people. She said, "The art was created by myself and a few other women of color, and after being tired and annoyed with the recurring theme of white women appropriating styles that belong to the black and brown folks who created the culture." The culture actually comes from a historical background of oppression and exclusion. The black and brown bodies who typically wear hooped earrings and other accessories like winged eyeliner, gold nameplate necklaces, are typically viewed as ghetto and not taken seriously by others in their daily lives. Because of this, I see our winged eyeliner, line lips, and big hoop earrings serving as symbols as an everyday act of resistance, especially here at Claremont Colleges. Meanwhile, we wonder, why should white girls be able to take part in this culture wearing hoop earrings, just being one case of it, and be seen as cute and aesthetic and ethnic? White people have actually exploited the culture and made it into fashion, she said.
To me, that's a bigger issue. That's the issue with white supremacy. That's bigger than just hoop earrings. And like I said, I'm just speaking for me. I don't care nothing about hoop earrings. Like, they're just earrings to me, in my opinion. Now, I do understand what they're saying about certain styles and types of hoop earrings are considered, quote unquote, ghetto and all that stuff. I understand the complaint, but just hoop earrings itself, there are all types of hoop earrings that all types of women wear across all types of culture. And so I don't have a problem with hoop earrings. This is a bigger problem. This is a problem stems from white supremacy and white women placed as the at the top of beauty standard and taking things from us. I completely understand that, but like I said, maybe somebody can explain to me. I don't understand this connection between white women and hoop earrings.
After the incident received national media attention, Martinez Aguilera and Gallo Gonzalez say they have been harassed by right-wing groups and individuals. One received a death threat through Facebook Messenger. College President Melvin L. Oliver issued a statement condemning the cycle of violent hate speech directed at students as a result. The three students also clarified their intentions behind the artwork in a well-written statement on LatinoRebels.com, drawing attention to the more systemic forms of inequality. They said the true meaning of the mural was to reflect the discrimination that women in non-binary films of color face on college campuses when they are rendered invisible. They also explained the pressures they face to shred their aesthetic in order to be taken seriously, while white women could engage in cultural appropriation without it hurting their social or academic prospects. Latinx women are forced to assimilate into academia to be respected while their struggles remain invisible to the institutions, they wrote. If we don't conform, it becomes difficult to access campus researchers, find job opportunities, and create professional networks. Despite erasure, institutions knowingly label forced assimilation as a process of professional socialization rather than a process that violently strips identities and culture from women and non-binary films of color. On the other hand, white upper-class elite women are able to appropriate fashion created by marginalized groups with no consequence to their well-being, social acceptance, and academic success.
No, I agree with that. And I think the death threats is too far, but those death threats go back to white supremacy, in my opinion, which is that's a larger issue altogether.
I'll say this, man. I definitely understand where they're coming from because it is a double standard. And yes. I think they have a wall for freedom of speech, for people to put whatever they want. They put a message. There's a reason this message went national. There's a reason, like, I think it went that way because they write. I think it went that way because people are, people that are white are offended by them pointing out the double standard.
And
I don't think you can really separate it. Like, it's one of the reasons I don't really do appropriation discussions, because it's too murky and messy, and honestly, it feels like people are still figuring out the language around it.
Right, and a lot of people do it across the boards. A lot of races do it across the board as far as swapping. So it's like, it's okay in this situation, and not okay in this situation. It's all right here, but not all right here, right? But go ahead.
But it also addresses to people's faves and shit, you know? I've seen people make arguments for and against women of color doing this to other cultures, like, oh, Beyonce dressed in typical Indian garb for this video, or she dressed up as an Indian goddess for this video, that was wrong. Or at the same time, you know, you can see Katy Perry put on like some Asian face paint and shit like that, and then she gets roasted, you know. I don't completely understand all the rules to it. I do understand it's a double standard. I do understand it's fucked up. I do understand when there's a lot of stuff that when black and brown people do it, it's considered ghetto and bad, and when white people do it, it's considered quirky and unique and eccentric and shit. And I don't think that's changing anytime soon.
Mm-mm.
I don't know that these discussions that raise awareness are even the tip of the iceberg with what it would need to happen. I don't even know the end result too. That's the other part of it. And I always come to this, what is the end result? White people should not wear hoop earrings. We're gonna get 100% of white people to understand that.
Mm-mm.
We're gonna, you know, like be on their ass and then they'll stop doing it as much. Or like some people say, you can wear it, but you just need to understand the history and shit. I don't know what I would want from a person that did, like, this isn't necessarily defense, but I don't know what people want from, like, say, Macklemore. You know what I mean? It's like, do you want him to not exist? Do you want him to use his privilege to spread the word for people like he's been doing? Do you want him not to try to understand? Do you want him not to be rewarded for the fact that white people are going to listen to him and it's a double standard, even though we think he's not the greatest rapper and shit? Like, it's that kind of thing for me where I'm like, I just feel like I'm angry, but I'm not necessarily sure what my end result of my anger is supposed to get me to make me not be angry, because the double standard is going to be there no matter how it's phrased, no matter what. Even if all brown people started doing the opposite of what we do, that would become the new thing that everybody says is ghetto.
Right.
It's us. There's nothing we can do about it, on our end. And even elevating and raising the issue, I just don't think they gonna get it. I just don't think they will ever, I forget who said it. Was it Chris? I heard someone say white people are basically the Borg. I think it was Chris, on the Insanity Check podcast. And I was like, yeah, that's it. They just assimilate and take other people's shit into their shit. That's how it always been and how it always gonna be. I think we can point out that that's a problem. I just don't think there's any solution for it. White next year, that's the beauty and the dangerousness of whiteness in mass, is that next year they will do, another one of these fall lines. Adidas with fat laces are back. They don't give a fuck. And you know, it's the only thing that will happen is that we'll have another controversy and then nothing will happen from it. They won't learn shit. We'll still be mad. And then ultimately, it'll end up being it's more of a surface issue anyway, because as Karen said, the underlying part of all of this is white supremacy fucking sucks.
That's my thing is, unless you, cause a lot of times people critiques are valid, people complaints are valid, people raising their voice and getting mad. What those women said were valid, but the issue is not hoop earrings. The issue is bigger, and like you say, that's why we go in circles with a lot of shit. Even when Rachel Dolezal out, we go in fucking circles because you don't want to address the problem.
For the record, they said it was bigger than the hoop earrings. So it's not like the women who brought this up don't know. They absolutely said, this is the real issue behind this. People just got mad at the symbolism of them writing on that wall that white people could do something, and that will always go more viral.
Correct.
Anytime you say white people can't do something, motherfuckers run out the book. Like, I dare you, I wish a motherfucker would. Like, they just come out of nowhere. Anyway, 0 to 100.
It's 100 just for the fact that it's just a motherfucking circle. 100.
Yeah.
Circle conversation.
I honestly hate these conversations, mm-hmm. but these are conversations people are having, and I do want to address it on the show. But I recognize it's almost a fruitless endeavor, because
right.
I've never seen white people learn. I just never seen it. I think I just don't have it's almost that thing where you're just like, they're never gonna fucking get it. And honestly, it wouldn't improve my life on any level if white people understood they shouldn't be appropriating different parts of our culture because it's just basically whack. It actually wouldn't improve my life. Like, if white women stopped saying slang from black people and shit, I wouldn't be like, well, now I feel that my life is more valuable and that people understand. I'd just be like, that's a surface level thing that they not gonna give up. systemic shit is the real stuff that bothers me. Mm-hmm. You know, but not that you can't be bothered by both. I absolutely understand. And I'm not even telling people not to be bothered. I see it and I just be like, I think I'll just like roll my eyes mad, but I'm not write a paper mad. You know what I mean?
Right.
Is that okay? Is that a thing where you can be like, I'm about this shit. They doing it again. But I'm not really, you know, like burn this motherfucker down mad, you know? All right, let's get into some other stuff. Let's do some guest erase. Right, here we go. Now that it's time for some guest erase. That's right, it's guest erase time. Now that it's time for some guest erase. That's right, it's guest erase time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcasts, and we read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, the chat room, and Karen, to guess the race, and of course, they're all racist. All right, and Guess the Race is brought to you by Loot Crate. Mm-hmm. Loot Crate is a monthly mystery crate filled to the brim with exclusive items from the biggest and best pop culture franchises. On a quest for epic gear and housewares and collectibles, Loot Crate offers an epic range of pop culture items for less than $20 a month. Whether you're shopping for the geek in your life or if you are the geek in your life, Loot Crate is the best surprise you know is coming. Every month there's a different theme and new exclusive items you can only get with Loot Crate. Treat yourself every month or give the gift of geeking out to a friend or a loved one. All you gotta do is go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT and enter code TBGWT and you'll save $3 off of any new subscription. For April, the theme is join us as we salute some of your favorite mystery solvers with items from Stranger Things, Batman, The X-Files, and Marvel's Jessica Jones. One lucky subscriber will also win a mega crate including signed copies of Jessica Jones Alias Volumes 1 through 4.
Woo!
You got until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific time to sign up to get this month's crate. After that, it's over! Let me see what came in the crate for this month. Let me open up one of these boxes. Alright, here's one for last month. You know, the worst part about the Loot Crate sponsorship is I be wanting to open my box up right away, y'all.
Right. But we purposely keep them closed.
I have to wait to the next read so we can all be shocked together. Got an X-Men Wolverine statue. Oh, figurine, I guess. Figure.
Aww.
It's a metal, die-cast metal Wolverine. Maybe it's
in the comic?
Maybe this is adamantium skin. Skeleton. Underneath. We got this shirt. And all the shirts come in Karen's size. Let me see. Primal Rage. The shirt. Here you go, nerdy.
Woohoo! I need to go through. I want to clean my shirts out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we got a pen for the Predator. They send you a pen every month. I save those. I like those.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Got another pen. Oh, because Primal was the theme. So the Predator, then you got this pen, the official pen for the month. We got a Jurassic Park fence post sign.
Aw, I put that up on the wall.
Yeah. Jurassic World, electrified fence throughout the park. Do not touch the fence. I like this. So yeah, that's this month's stuff, man. You could have been you.
Could have been you, dog.
But you fucked up, didn't you? Of course you did. All right, let's get to the sism. Like I said, lootcrate.com/TBGWT, code TBGWT to say $3 off.
Mm-hmm.
A woman was arrested after threatening to defecate on a police officer.
What?
Mm-hmm. Boo-boo lives matter.
Oh no.
A Manchester, New Hampshire woman is facing multiple charges that she allegedly threatened to defecate on a police officer trying to arrest her early Monday morning. Christina Roberts, 18, is charged with simple assault and two counts of resisting arrest, detention. Her boyfriend, Samuel Caraballo, 19, is charged with criminal threatening, resisting arrest, detention, and simple assault. Both suspects appeared in court Monday. Bail information was not available. Apparently they were called around 3 a.m. the police when a neighbor complained about the tenants in the second floor apartment. Neighbor said he heard the tenants fighting and asked them to quiet down. In response, they allegedly threw eggs at his vehicle. Police responded and said a male, later identified as Caraballo, came to the door and immediately became confrontational. He backed out of the doorway and Roberts, his girlfriend, blocked the door frame and continued arguing with police. One of the officers then noticed Caraballo walking toward a long gun located next to a bed. The officer pushed past Roberts, even though she grabbed his jacket to keep him from entering. Another officer then started to place Roberts under arrest for trying to keep the officers from entering the apartment. By this time, Caraballo and the officers who had entered the apartment were fighting for control of the shotgun. Caraballo kicked the officer in the chest, but another officer was able to incapacitate him with a taser, and he was taken into custody. Roberts was also placed under arrest. As they waited for the transport wagon, Roberts allegedly placed her buttocks on the officer's leg and threatened to defecate on her. It was not immediately known whether Roberts or Caraballo have retained attorneys. Guess the race.
Say her name again.
Her name is Christina Roberts.
White.
Karen's going with white. Let's check the chat room and see what you guys believe Christina Roberts' race is. Okay, shitty bang bang white.
Oh,
one who would wear hoop earrings to a job interview and still get hired. White like the cotton her black prom date was picking.
Oh
my god, Becky, look out for that butt. White, since the officers saw a real gun and not an imaginary one. White, my father pays your salary. White, yeah, I know they had a white girl nonsense. Yeah, I know they always have the we got a 187 in progress. I wonder if you do that, they're like, we got a number 2 in progress. Please call, I'll call it back up. I need backup from my officer's assistant. She was white. And everybody guessed white, by the way. Man, if you shit on the officer, you just gotta sit there in your shit for the rest of the day. That's a long time to be in a cell, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they ain't trying
to clean
you.
Smelling shitty.
Mm-hmm. And same thing, you pissing yourself, or you're sitting it.
Yeah, no thank you. That sounds absolutely horrible. For some reason it's not showing on the screen.
Is it
showing for you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so that's what she looked like, guys. White as the new driven snow.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Out here trying to shit on people. Well, you got some nerve.
Right, and you get killed for less. Get out of here.
A girl, 18, admits that she faked her rape 2 weeks ago when she ran into a church bloody and half naked after her fiance reported her missing.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, an 18-year-old girl has admitted to faking her own kidnapping and gang rape just 2 weeks after she went missing and then bizarrely showed up at a church bloodied and barely clothed. Denison, Texas police released a statement on Wednesday saying that Brianna Harmon Talbot had confessed to officers that the whole ordeal was a hoax. She has since been arrested and charged with making a false report to a peace officer. Police became involved in Talbot on March 8th when her fiancé called police around 5:30 p.m. to report her missing. He told officers that he found his girlfriend's car abandoned in an apartment parking lot with the driver's door open and her phone, keys, and shoe nearby. Police then mounted a search effort, believing that Talbot had been abducted, but later that evening, Talbot showed up at a local church. She was bloodied and wearing just a shirt, bra, and underwear, claiming to have been gang raped. She later told police she was abducted by 3 black males in ski mask at her apartment before they took her to the woods near the church and took turns raping her while one of them held her down. Within just a few days of the incident, detectives say that her story started to fall apart. One of the biggest holes in the story was the fact that medical professionals who examined Talbot at the hospital were unable to find evidence that she was sexually assaulted. Officers also combed the alleged crime scene and didn't find anything backing up the crime. We believe the crime scene from the initial quote-unquote kidnapping scene at the apartment complex to the point of Talbot's condition when she walked into the church was staged. On Tuesday, Talbot copped to the police she staged the hoax and that her wounds were self-inflicted. The following day, she was arrested and charged with making a false report to a police officer. The department has also vowed to go after Talbot for the cost of the search effort. Breonna Harmon Talbot's hoax was also insulted to our community and especially offensive to the African American community due to her description of the so-called suspects in her hoax. The anger and hurt caused from such a hoax are difficult and so unnecessary, the police statement read. Police did not explain the motivation for the hoax and whether Talbot's fiance was a knowing participant in her lies. Guess the race.
100 white.
100 white. Okay. All right. Let's check the chat room and see what they believe her race is. 2017 Susan Smith white, girl gone girl white, whiter than snow. Police immediately took a break from not searching for missing black girls to find her white. Oh. Susan Smith's cousin white, 53% of white, blame it on some black guys. I mean, come on, officer, you know how niggas do. Live action Beauty and the Beast.
Oh.
Little White Lies, whiter than white. Rosewood 2.0 white. That is all correct. You guys all got it. She was white. That's her.
Terrific.
Yeah.
There's real victims out here. Get the hell out of here with that bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The thing that's funny to me, I absolutely believe her fiance is probably in on it. Just looking at him. Because he reported her missing. She showed up. I don't know if they thought they was about to start a race war or what. But yeah, it's real people out here missing and y'all fucking around.
Real people missing, dog.
Mm-hmm. Let's see what. A man is in critical condition after a chicken joint beatdown.
Ah!
Mm-hmm. Nothing worse than a chicken joint beatdown, I tell you.
Oh, joint. Where's we at? Floyd's? Where's we at?
A man is in critical condition after being savagely beaten by 4 men inside a Flatbush fried chicken spot and then robbed by a fifth as he lay helplessly on the floor. The 37-year-old victim told police that the argument began when he offered to help 2 men pay for their meal, which they were a few dollars short of paying for, inside of Texas Chicken and Burgers in Brooklyn on March 1st. That's sad. The 2 men got angry at the offer and soon grabbed the victim's cane and began striking him in the head and body with it and their fist.
Wow, just because he offered?
Hey man, I see y'all a couple dollars short. I could help you out. And what the fuck you say? Wah, wah, wah. The men pummeled the victim harder when he tried to defend himself, and soon 2 other men entered the location and joined in the beating. When the attackers fled, another man entered the Texas Chicken and Burger spot and emptied the victim's pockets before fleeing. The victim was taken to an area hospital where he was treated for multiple broken bones, contusions, and lacerations. Video from inside the restaurant showed the vicious attackers and unfolded in full view of the customers. Guess the race of these criminals.
Them some niggas.
Karen says them some niggas. Let's check the chat room, see what y'all believe. Karen believes them some niggas.
Mm-hmm.
The robber was directed his way by Ben Carson, black.
Ah!
Black menace to society, black Migos, black. A lot of black coming through right now. Everybody's going with black. Wow, please let them be white. That's not really a guess. Nah. Tar complained when it was going to be 15 minutes on white, black. This is some jigaboos. New York niggas, they gave him a 2-piece and a biscuit that he wasn't ready for.
I'm from Brooklyn, so I'm from New York. What's really good, son? I don't play no games, yo.
The correct answer is black. Man, did everybody guess black? Did anybody guess something else? I saw please let them be white, but that felt like a prayer.
Yes!
The correct answer is absolutely black. They were all black, and they beat this fool down to the ground. Sad times, y'all.
Yeah, he just helping.
Trying to help somebody pay for their food.
Right.
Trying to be nice. And motherfuckers out here like, nope, gonna beat your ass up.
And then rob you.
And then rob your ass. It's wrong, Karen. Wrong on so many levels. And they stomped him too. They stomped him down good.
Yeah, broken bones and shit.
Mm-hmm. Gonna stomp him in the nuts. Stomp him in the nuts. Yeah, it looked like right there he was like, y'all need some help, some money. And they was like, what the fuck you talking about? Shut the fuck up, man. And then they gave him that beat down. Just some people came in, helped out. And they stomped the hell out this motherfucker.
Wow.
They going to jail now.
Damn it. All of them need to go to jail.
Then this nigga came in and was like, oh, he knocked out. Let me get a couple of dollars out of his pocket. Shit. Y'all have a good one. That's what broken bones in his body and everything.
Right.
Oh well. Last one. Let me get the bonus music out. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race, and the bonus round against the race so far. Karen is 3 for 3.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if she can keep it up in the final segment, the final one.
Woo-hoo!
A man swings horse penis around in front of shock teens in the park before rubbing it in baby oil.
What?
A man swung a horse's penis around in circles before rubbing it with baby oil in front of a group of teens in a packed out park.
How did you get a hold of a horse's penis? Horse's penis just don't lay around.
Stephen Cuff was spurred on to carry out the lewd act after he approached a group at Cambridge and used the horse's tail as a beard.
I bet you he was. Did the horse protest?
When that got some laughs from the group and he decided to carry out the wholly inappropriate sexual act, when he noticed the animal had become visibly excited. At first he swung the horse's penis around in circles and then moved his hand up and down the horse's penis as if he was masturbating it. In his defense, the court heard Cuff told police his son had noticed his horse's penis and was in need of a clean and had put some baby oil on it and rubbed it to get the dirt off.
That's not how that works, sir. I don't know about animals, but last time I checked, that's not how that works.
What was he doing with baby oil just on demand?
Y'all need to check this man. He done something with some animals and some shit before.
No. No.
He ain't prepared with baby oil.
No. Hell no. No. I refuse. No.
All them with the animals because they done seen his ass before.
All of them what?
All them knows were the animals because they done seen them before. We don't understand the animals. They protesting.
Yeah. I mean, who walks around and goes, man, that horse penis is dirty. It needs some baby oil.
Right.
Let me get my custom baby oil.
Person that's not a vet.
My horse jerking baby oil. I just carry it around all day looking for situations. I'm baby oil, man. I'm a really useless hero.
Don't see this bottle specially made for horse penises.
Baby oil man sounds like the enemy to all the hoteps. Like, it's me, baby oil man. These black bed wench negro oh baby old man's here, run. The 54-year-old had been out with a group of about 5 people on Jesus Green in May 8th, 2016, one of the hottest days of the year so far when the incident happened. He had been drinking that day, you don't say. Mm-hmm. And feared he may have been spiked. At his sentencing at Cambridge Crown Court today, he was jailed for 4 months, suspended for 18 months after he admitted one count of outraging public decency at a previous hearing. Prosecutor Sarah Walker said that Sunday afternoon, Jesus Green was occupied by groups of young people, families, and young children, and described as packed. A teenage girl who was with a large group of friends, aged 16 to 17, first noticed Cuff while they were listening to music and enjoying the weather. She said she didn't know him, but the noticeable thing about him was the fact that he had a horse with him on Jesus Green on that afternoon. He came over towards their group and started to sing and dance to the music they were listening to. It was clear, she said, that he had been drinking or taking something. He was mumbling or swaying to the music. His eyes were all over the place. The court heard after letting one of her group have a ride on the horse, he began leading the animal around and started playing with it. She said he made a beer with his tail. That got some laughs from that group, but that seemed to spur him on. He said the horse became visibly excited. She said the horse became visibly excited, which the man noticed and went near to it despite the group's protest not to. The group told the horse's penis he grabbed hold of the horse's penis and started to swing it around in circles. He went on,
wouldn't he be scared that horse will fuck him up? Like suppose that horse was on a protest.
I don't think a horse is gonna fuck you up while you jacking it off.
Oh.
I mean, of all the times.
Ain't gonna hoof you out the way, I mean.
For all the times for an animal to buck up, it's probably not gonna be where you got a hold of his penis.
Ah!
I'm not a horse penis expert by any means.
My bad, I don't got a
but
penis.
But I did
so.
Sleep at a Holiday Inn last night.
Holiday Inn Express, yeah, my bad.
But if you grab my penis, you have my full undivided attention.
Ah!
He grabbed hold of the horse's penis and started to swing it around in circles. He went up and moved his hand up and down the horse's penis as if he was masturbating it. People were shouting at him to stop. When interviewed by police about the incident, Cuff said his son had noticed the horse's penis was in need of a clean and he put some baby oil and rubbed it to get the dirt off. Now, Cuff apparently has 25 previous convictions spanning many years. He was not acting in a sexual way towards the horse, according to his defending lawyer.
I told you that didn't sound right for you to come pre-baby oil. I was like, you've done this before. You came ready. Who carries around horse baby oil in their back pocket? Like lotion.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be a horse of another color carries. While it was clear, clearly a matter related to a horse and the act of simulating masturbation, the basis of the plea makes it clear that he was not acting in a sexual way towards the horse. This wasn't something, that was being done for sexual gratification. It's clear from the statement from the witnesses of this case that he was doing it for attention. But wouldn't that still be sexual attention though? I don't know. Something about that seems wrong.
Man, charge that man.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It sounds like he's back in the saddle. He was acting up to an audience. The defendant is hugely embarrassed by his actions and by appearing before the court for him. He behaved in a very foolish manner. Most of his offending has been related to drink. He accepts that he had been drinking alcohol. He believes that his drink had been spiked. I ain't buying that.
Me either.
He is not somebody who has any underlying sexual issues. He offers his sincere apologies to those offended by the incident. So, yep. I don't know, man. Guess the race.
White.
Okay. All right. Let me check the chat room, see what you guys believe. Hold your horses, white. Yeah, they were just horsing around.
Aww.
I'm just saying, Maine. Active member of PETA and loves animals, wink wink, white. Bronco Buster, white. The fuck, white. It wasn't sexual, he only did it to impress the canine girlfriend. Hold my beer and my horse, white. The biggest penis he will ever have, white. Aww. Wait, that would probably be the biggest penis everybody would ever have. It's a horse penis. Watch me whip. Now watch me nay nay, white. White, whoever would have horse and rub his penis public with baby oil on deck part if the horse jack off kit as part of the horse jack off kit.
Aww.
All right, the correct answer is he was white.
The way you hesitated, I thought you were going to say he was black. I'm about to say, nigga, what?
Oh, no, no, no. I just hesitated because I have a picture of him. I just know that nigga was white.
Okay.
I didn't do any research for that one. I mean, come on, guys. That's right. I'm in on it, too, guys. I'm also racist. All right, let's go to... stop beating a dead horse, stop beating a dead horse off and go to the next story with sore ratchetness.
Yes, you let this one gallop away.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I read about it in Gallup News poll. Mm-hmm. That's all. But all right, let's then this is not horseshoes or hand jobs. Let's move on.
You have the horse hairs, wares everywhere, up in arms, up in hooves, actually.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know what that means.
Oh, because people talk about some weave, man, out of horse hair. That's a running joke.
Look, because of these jokes, I can lead you to water, but I can't make you drink. Okay. Pirate arrested for threatening people with sword. David Willis, 48, was wearing a pirate outfit, ranting incoherently and waving a sword at people, according to an arrest report. A man in a pirate costume was arrested after he waved his sword at people on the beach, ranting at them incoherently. Well, maybe he's talking pirate talk. The oddly dressed figure walking near a flagler by the sea compound drew the attention of 60-year-old Longwood resident Andrew Hoosman, a vacationer who was outside having a drink when he noticed the pirate who was yelling as he walked through the campground toward the beach. Hoosman noticed the pirate sword and found him suspicious. He noticed that a man and a woman were in the pirate's path on the beach, so concerned for their safety, he approached the pirate, later determined to be 48-year-old Palm Coast resident David Mark Willis, white. Hughesman stated that Mr. Mark Willis was yelling and incoherent, and he also was waving the sword. Willis started walking towards Hughesman while swinging the sword, and Hughesman later told the police that he feared for his life, but Hughesman, who was a private investigator, was able to distract Willis, then jumped Mr. Willis and took him to the ground. Damn, it's a hero. I wouldn't have fucked with a dude with a sword on the beach. I would have just yelled at that couple like, y'all better run, and they would turn around and I would have already been running. Hughesman's son, a 17-year-old, got a pair of Hughesman's handcuffs. This he got, oh, because he's a detective, yeah. They were able to secure Willis and keep the sword out of his reach until deputies arrived. They said he did look drunk. They saw him fall into the water and ran up to him to make sure he was okay. But Willis got up and started yelling and coming towards him. Willis attacked Hughesman's, he said. All right, we'll be back tomorrow with my man Mike Brown for the Deceptive Comics and Comedy Outliers. We'll be talking about all kinds of stuff with him. So until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.